Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome. It's still the Morning Crossfire. We're set to have a conversation on the state of the nation and, of course, assessing Bola Tinubu administration's performance so far. Our guest this morning will be Daniel Bwala, former spokesperson for the People's Democratic Party presidential campaign organization, and he's also public and political affairs analyst, joining us via video link. He's already standing by to join the conversation. So ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a part of our conversation, you can call the numbers we usually advertise, 0700-993-993-993, 0700-993-993-993. Lagos, you can also be a part of the conversation. For our female listeners who are finding it difficult to get through to that main line, you can call a special female line, 0201-465-7190, 0201-465-7190. We're also taking your contributions via WhatsApp line, and we're not taking calls, we're just messages on WhatsApp, and the WhatsApp number is 0809597-5805, 0809597-5805. You can only send messages for now. Then, of course, on X, so Twitter, we're at Nigeria Info FM, at Nigeria Info FM. Drop a comment as well by mentioning us. Then on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/Nigeria Info FM, or simply search for Nigeria space info space 99.3. Nigeria space info space 99.3. Like I said, Daniel Bwala is our guest this morning, former spokesperson for the People's Democratic Party PDP presidential campaign organization. He's also a political and public affairs analyst, and as well as a lawyer. Daniel Bwala is one of a few Nigerians who has been authorized to practice law in England as a foreigner. His authorization to practice law in England came from the Honorable Society of Lincoln's Inn in London. He has an LLM in International Business Law from the University of Coventry in the United Kingdom, and he's here to talk about, to give his assessment of the Bola Tinubu administration's performance so far. Daniel Bwala, good morning to you. I hope we got the information right. Thank you very kindly for your time.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, and good morning to your listeners and viewers.
All right. Thank you for waking up this early. I mean, I know you're a busy man to join us this morning, but it will be worth our time. Some Nigerian political and public affairs analysts, you know, in assessing the Bola Tinubu administration's performance, they have described the past 8 months of Tinubu's administration as blood, sweat, and tears for most Nigerians. And while some analysts and commentators have refused to rate President Tinubu's performance in office just yet, some who appear to have assessed the performance of the current administration are commending the president for some of the, you know, some of the decisions he's taken since he assumed office. Among them is former spokesperson of the PDP presidential campaign organization, whom we have today, who recently expressed support for the president's decisions following his recent visit to President Tinubu State House. And he had been an ardent critic of the All Progressives Congress and the Tinubu government. But on that visit, this is what he said. Quote, "I told him today, I am committing to play my part to support your administration. I have no apologies to anybody." Now, for those of you listening, we're asking you, how important is it to gauge the administration's performance, you know, Pibat is completing his 1 year in office in about 4 months. We want to hear from you and what your assessment is. Daniel, once again, good morning to you. Thank you so very kindly for your time.
Good morning.
Yes, yes. You've given reasons why you went to see the president. A lot of people were surprised that you went to see him. You've given several interviews. We talked about that yesterday. You have spoken to several media organizations about it. But that is a big elephant in the room. Do you understand why some Nigerians are concerned or are interested, are talking about your visit to the president? And what do you say to them, especially the critics who are questioning why someone like you, who they believed in, who spoke for Atiku Abubakar, who criticized the APC several times, you know, and they believed in you. Do you understand why they are coming at you? Following your
president? Yeah, but I mean, first of all, it's natural in life for people to react to events. Generally in life, we all react to events. If anything happens, people have an opinion on it. And then when you bring it down to the staple of politics, it is even more compelling for people to have an opinion on the matter, because politics is one of those practices that encourages expression. So, for example, the very essence of politics is so people can participate. It is the duty of every citizen to be a part of how the government is run. And so the reactions are mixed, right? And the emotions are mixed as well. There are those who are excited by the development, especially those who feel that it's about time we concentrate on governance. It's about time we look at the Nigerian nation and see how we can come out of this tumultuous situation we're in. And so when they see more of people coming out of the politicking into talking about governance and how we all can patriotically get involved, you know, in pushing the envelope, they get excited about it. While others still are clogged with this political, they still have the hangover of this campaign and electoral campaign, that they wish that people maintain status quo, and that people who are in the other political party, otherwise called the opposition, should continue to play the opposition. Now, this is our opinion. I also have a right as a citizen on the premise of number of reasons to do what I think is right for me. For example, number one, man by nature is a free moral agent. Number two, the only thing constant in nature is change. Number three, the Constitution guarantees right of association, right to even join a political party and express your opinion on it. And then fifthly, every individual as a person at every given point in life will have to assess his evolution and see what he can do and what best suits what his objectives are. For the following reasons, I decided that at this time when things are critically bad in the country, for us to see what we can do in whatever way we can to push this country forward. You have in your introduction talked about the 8 months. Some people are also crying that in the past 8 months, it has been a tough time in Nigeria. So what about somebody, if somebody were to play a role in helping for us to appreciate that progress is being made, or in even contributing to the progress of the country, as opposed to somebody standing somewhere and finding every reason to condemn the government? Because the truth of the matter is that it's cheap and so easy to point fingers at things that are not going, but it is much more difficult to talk about the direction. So that's why I feel that I respect the right of people to hold opinion, but they also have to respect my right to decide at every given point steps in my life that better suits my objective.
All right. I think I would totally agree with you that you have a right, and I always preach this, like we said previously, you know, that people have a right to belong where they want to belong. That's what democracy is about. You know, people have a right to, after all, you move from the APC to the PDP, no one died. You know, I haven't had your response to this question, so I'm going to ask you, are you going to move back to the APC?
I'm a PDP member. Okay. And that, but I'm supporting the candidacy. I mean, I'm supporting the government of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu. But if my support of President Bola Ahmed Tinubu gets to a point where PDP can no longer accommodate me being a member and yet supporting Tinubu, I might decide probably to join APC.
All right,
because that's the party where I belong for 8 years and advocated for. And that my understanding is that political parties are merely platforms. There are no marked ideological difference between those political parties. Almost all political parties in Nigeria, when what they call ideology are some of those constitutions of Chapter 2 of the Constitution, who provides for directive principles of state policy, like social welfare, security, economic prosperity, and the rest. There is no particular program that you can say APC believes in and PDP does not believe in, or APC advocates that PDP does not do. One, like in America, where if you talk about the Republican, people know the ideologies of the Republican Party and the things that are promoted by the Republican Party. For example, Republican Party promotes the sovereignty of America. They hate the idea of too much taxation and overregulation of the economy. They don't like the idea of interventions. They, in fact, as a matter of fact, promote this, what they call free market economy, capitalism, to a point where they don't care. In fact, the more money you make in America, that you should be less taxed. If you come to the Democrats, that's not how they look at it. They believe that Americans should all grow together. And if you have a very rich society with a very poor society, you have to help the poor ones to come up. They believe in giving overregulation, you know, of the economy. They believe also in taxing the people. They believe in certain social system that the Republicans do not, like, for example, gay rights and some of those things. So once you say you are a Republican and you're moving from Republican Party to Democratic Party, people tend to ask, what fundamentally changed in your ideology that you are swapping? Oftentimes, people equate that with Nigeria. People should stop that. There is no much difference in Nigeria. I even asked a friend of mine who asked me the question. He said, so you're moving from, I haven't moved yet, but that's the conclusion. You're moving from PDP to APC. What changed in terms of ideology? I asked him, you are in talks for merger. And each of the political parties in talks for merger have their own ideologies, right? He said, yes. I said, when you finally form the merger, which ideology are you picking and which one are you dropping? He couldn't answer me. I said, that's the point. Political parties are platforms. People use those platforms to acquire power so that they hope that when they get to power, they will bring about their vision, you know, for the Nigerian people. And so we should come out of that myth and mundane conversation and go into issues of governance and how we look at it. Do you believe in this? Do you not believe it? Why do you believe in this? Okay, this place that you're supporting, this and this and this happening, what do you have to say about it?
Interesting.
These are the things that I think we should, you know, put conversation on. Go ahead.
Very interesting, you know, thought by you. I think you know better because you've had a taste of both parties. I'm now talking about being a card-carrying member of the APC and being a card-carrying member of the PDP, as opposed to people who may have not even been members of any party but just are supporters from a distance. So you're speaking from experience. Does Nigeria need such a polity? You've so eloquently, you know, explained, given us what the American ideological differences between the Democrats and Republicans in American politics is. Do we need such ideological, you know, politics in Nigeria where Party A's ideology will be marked and different, and we know what it is from Party B? Is that something that will be good for Nigerian politics?
Obviously, political party and processes is built in that from the foundation, that each political party will not just have a set goal and objective, but they must have ideology that they base all their policies on. You know, when we got independent and then the political party started forming, I can tell you that at the beginning, political parties were ideologically driven. If you look at, for example, the NPN, you look at the UPN, you look at the NPN, I mean, it's UNPP and the rest, you will see that they had to a certain degree, not in full maturation, but it's a certain degree, certain ideologies that they base on. But from 1999, I must be honest with you, since when this republic returned as the Fourth Republic, in each of those political parties, they were not ideological difference. For example, PDP also did UWIN, which are some of those social interventions. APC is doing social interventions. PDP believe in the economy. They believe in private sector participation in the economy. APC believe in the same. APC is approaching private sector, asking them to do. So there is no marked difference. If you say I'm a PDP member, other than somebody thinking you associate with group of people in PDP, nobody can tell you, maybe this person has moved to PDP because certain ideological perspective of that party attracted him. Mm-hmm. And then the ball players, if you look at it, they all have moved from one party to the other and they will continue doing the movement. So in a nutshell, we need it, but we haven't grown to that point. And I can understand why it is like that.
How do we get there?
Yes, how we get that first is that we must bring our population out of poverty to a certain level where they can have their sense of judgment, reasoning without influence. Because what we are seeing in Nigeria today is the politicization of poverty, right? The weaponization of poverty. And so people don't hold up to what they believe in or what they are convinced about in terms of those ball players. I'm talking about ball players who move. And so the population, usually they vote for the people based on sentiment, unfortunately. If you look at the generality of Nigerians, when they say we are voting for this person, they will either say, because he comes from the north, we are northerners, we are supporting him, or he comes from the south, we are southerners, we are supporting him. A good example, when Labour Party came up, it started at the beginning from the perspective that it is a movement of young people and Nigerians who are not satisfied with the status quo. That was when it picked, and it picked with enough energy. And it was meant to be that third party, the outsider, that would shake the status quo. As the campaign went on, certain elements hijacked it and made it about agitation for a part of the country that had not accessed power. You understand? And so it got to a point where those who began this movement, who were not looking at any of these consideration, started pulling away. Wait a minute. And the engagement was largely on social media. So how we'll get about it, one is that we must all pull through, right, and get our people to a point out of poverty where they have their sense of judgment, sense of reasonability, and sense of decision. Then we can build upon that. There are some theories that will tell you we can get to that by the ball players, now those who participate in political process, building it by themselves.
All right.
So, for example, I've read the manifesto of APC through and through. I read the manifesto of PDP through and through. There was a time I even participated in remodeling the manifesto of SDP, right? If you look at SDP and NRC then, SDP was considered as a progressive party, just like the American Democratic Party.
Are you talking about SDP of Abiola or this current one?
Yes, SDP of Abiola.
All right,
and NRC of Bashir Tofa.
All right.
You know, in those days, the NRC was considered like the Republican, because if you look at NRC then, they believe more on private sector participation in the economy. In fact, not just private sector participation, but private sector-led economy. So an economy where you have less of government intervention, less of government participation, and you have more private sector dictating in the economic direction. While the SDP was considered as a party of letters. That's why all of Abiola's campaign, you see, is about social interventions and all of that. But that melted away. Because from 1999 till today, you hardly can point at a particular program, because now APC and PDP have had the chance to govern. So you will be able to assess. You cannot say, okay, during PDP, this was the economic policy they pursued, which was, you know, connected to their ideology that APC is not, you know, departing from. Yeah, it is copy and paste. That's what's basically happening. And all of these things that they are doing are in Chapter 2. If you look at Chapter 2 of the Constitution, it's a directive principles of social state policy, which talks about certain rights that are not justiciable. Like, for example, right to education, right to this, right to that, social security, which in other countries, they have made it justiciable. You can enforce it in law, but in Nigeria, you can't enforce it in law. So right. These are basically the issues.
Okay, you've said a lot to chew on. We'll get to the meat of why we are here this morning. But we want to just take a very short commercial break. And our listeners, for those of you listening, we'll take a lot of calls this morning, as many as we can, but we'll allocate time to that. All right, so stay by your phones. And, of course, your messages are welcome on X, as Twitter, on Facebook, as well as WhatsApp number. Don't forget, oneplay.ng is still on. Go to the website, play.ng, and play for 500 naira. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. We're streaming live on Facebook, streaming live on YouTube. Go to facebook.com/Nigeria Info FM. And of course, or you can search for Nigeria Space Info Space 99.3 on YouTube, search for Nigeria Info FM. And of course, if you want to contribute on this conversation or to this conversation on Twitter or X, just give us a mention. Just give us a mention at Nigeria Info FM. Our guest this morning on the Morning Crossfire is Daniel Bola, former spokesperson for the People's Democratic Party presidential campaign in the 2023 presidential election, public and political affairs analyst. He's also a lawyer. He is one of the few Nigerians who have been authorized to practice law in England as a foreigner. His authorization to practice law in England came from the Honorable Society of Lincoln's Inn in London. Did we get that right, Daniel? You got that right?
Yeah, I was called to the bar by the Lincolns in London, yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
And Honorable Society of the Lincolns Inn.
All right, fantastic. And he has an LLM in International Business Law from the University of Coventry in the UK. Do you still go to court in Nigeria? I think
yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Although I'm presently in England doing a PhD in law, but I still go to my have a vibrant law practice in Nigeria. That's why I fly twice every month to Nigeria and back to the UK.
Man, you're a busy man.
Because I'm very much present in Nigeria.
You need to transfer some of that energy to me. Okay, for those who want to be a part of the conversation, 0700-993-993-993, number to call 0700-993-993-993. Female listeners who may find it difficult to get through to that number can call 0201-465-7190, 0201-465-7190. Daniel Bwala, you talked about the importance of putting politics aside at this point and going into governance, and that is something that is important to you. I want you to speak to that. Why is it important for Nigerians to now say, okay, elections are over, politics is over, let's face governance, let's join hands, and let's put Nigeria first?
It is important because if you are playing politics at a time when the nation is critically ill, it means the focus will, you know, that conversation, the media follow where the news is, right? And they report what they see. If that conversation is around politics, the media reports it. So the focus is away from governance issues, such as hunger, such as the forex, you know, our Naira devaluation, such as our people are in poverty, they don't have access to education, they don't have access to medical care, such as the brain drain we're having in Nigeria, otherwise called the Japa syndrome, and many other issues. These are issues confronting us as a country. These are issues that is bringing the nation to its knees. Now, if we take our eyes away from this, and these are governance issues, right? If we take our eyes away from, because if you try to be political, apart from the president who comes from one political party, the governors come from different political parties. So how do you then play the politics? Where is the thin line? But if you stay around governance issue, it means if we raise an issue, let's say the economy, and whether this administration is doing it or not, at that point, you can say, as an opposition, that your own policy would have been A, B, and C. So you are still talking about governance, but you're providing alternative that your party would have done so if they were in government. Or even at the state level, you say, okay, this our party is even doing it at the state level. This is what we would have done at the national. But when we take away from the issue of governance and we're talking about politics, then it is no longer about those things that matter to us. It is about, why did you leave the APC? Why did you go to PDP? APC intrinsically dead. PDP is intrinsically. You see, and that politicking, that playing, you see, electioneering process is like a trade fair where when people go there, then everybody tries to sell his product. But the trade fair does not happen every day. There are moments where you have trade fair. After the trade fair, people go back to their normal businesses and shops. And then at that time, it is your product that speaks for itself. It's no longer you coming out to do salesmanship.
Yes.
But in trade fair, all kinds of activities are there.
But it could be argued, some may argue that those in power at whatever level, in the executive, be it state or federal, they themselves are more interested in politics than governance. And we've seen the results.
That's the point. I agree with you. That's why our own media in Nigeria will have to up the ante. And I will tell you why. In America, for example, the media, which is the fourth estate of the realm, and that's why if you look at their constitution, that right of the media is so powerful that even they are protected from certain, you know, liability in court, right? They do what they call, they set the agenda. At every given point in time, they determine what is the issues at hand, what are the issues at hand, and how focus should be on the issues. In Nigeria, in contrast, it is the politicians that set the agenda, as opposed to in England. Now, for example, in the US, you can do anything you want to do as a politician. Let's say Donald Trump. He can do anything he wants. But if the media decide that, look, on this issue, we're focusing on immigration, they will forget about those external exigencies and focus on that immigration, whether that policy is working. When he became president, he said he was going to build the wall around the whole of the neighbors. They followed him through and discovered that it was impossible to build the wall all around because the immigration issues are not just limited to the walls.
But
they are fundamental issues of regulation.
But if the people in power, maybe the president, for instance, and his cabinet, or one governor or the other are more interested, you're agreeing that they're more interested in politics than governance. Because I would personally say that to Nigerian politician, governance is number three. Number one is politics, number two is you know what, and number three is governance. Is it not therefore important that people, you know, we have a strong opposition, we have strong voices in opposition, not to join hands with government, but to put fire on their bum and keep them on their toes?
So I give you an example. After the elections in February of last year, all the political parties, including the noisy neighbors, otherwise called the Labour Party, I call them the noisy neighbors because they make noise, they don't provide solution. They insult, they do all kinds of things. In fact, Soyinka gave them one beautiful name, which I don't want to mention it here. But after the election, that noise now changed character, right? I'm not praising myself. It got to a point where even the Labour Party faithfuls turned to me, who was constantly and consistently providing the alternative against the governing party in terms of providing solutions and critiquing with issues. I refused to descend to the point of insult or whatever. I was attacking on the point of issues, right? If other political parties who are in the opposition also continue, because in Nigeria, once politics are over, they think as if the entire lifetime of this governance issue is over. So they sit in the sidelines either to promote what is bad or to undermine the government and then come back on in 4 years. But you don't find the same thing in England. That's why they have what they call shadow cabinet. Now, I take, for example, my party, People's Democratic Party. The National Working Committee ought to be the shadow cabinet. So on every issue, if the finance minister brings a policy that they feel is bad, the party will issue a policy, alternative policy, that this is what ought to have been done, this is what we would have done. How many of them are engaged? Bola has been the one talking. And that's why when I made the decision to desist from that, it now generated the emotions. Because the question then is, who else will talk?
So,
I agree with you.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, someone feel the PDP is really is dead right now as we speak as an opposition party. Did you at any time feel frustration or frustrated at the lack of coordination, lack of like the PDP not showing up, not being there? It seems the party is really not there anymore. Is that something that frustrated you?
I'm sure, yes, it's part of my frustration. But yesterday, Segun Show with me, my friend, who is vying for the post of chairmanship in that party, he was on a TV station Arise, and he was asked a question about me, and he put it in a very clear time. He said, I got frustrated that I kept yelling and shouting about the fact that I was calling on PDP to reform itself. I yelled and yelled and they didn't listen until I left. Now, that may not be fundamentally the reason I left, but the record is there to show that I never kept quiet. I was always calling out the leaders of the party, calling them out on issues that I feel they were hypocritical about.
How
they are hobnobbing with the governing party. Nobody talked. In any way, when there is a problem like that, leaders ought to provide leadership. And so when it became apparent that this party that you continue to advocate for and you're fighting for, all of them are trying, are hobnobbing with the governing party, and the governing party wants you to come and play a part inside, not outside, towards the betterment, then the alternative will be, okay, it's better for me to be in the governing party. What I mean by being the governing party, not that join them as APC, but play a part in that government to effect change, rather than to be frustrated, making noise to leaders who are, in fact, not paying attention.
I think Mr. President may have been prophetic when he said, God bless PDAPC, because like you're saying, that there's no difference. There's no difference. And if you keep being in the PDP, it's just a logo that is a difference. But you see the governors or the people that are going to shake the hands of president, praising him and everything.
Yes,
even some Labour Party national assembly members are praising the president. Daniel, the economy is gone. It's not the same it was when you were campaigning for Atiku Abubakar to be president. A lot has happened. What's your take on the policies, the economic policies of the current administration, which has brought Nigeria to where it is right now?
So had the governing party or had the president, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, not removed the subsidy and floated the Naira, it would be the same status quo, right? Where the situation will be the way it was. It will still go down and become worse because truth of the matter is that there was a big difference between, and that's not to put excuse, there's a big difference between 2015 when Buhari took on board and what was on ground, and 2023 when Tinubu took over from Buhari, even though from the same party, right? At the time, Tinubu took over, and yet, like I told you, I maintained that opposition against the governing party on their policy issues like floating of the Naira and the removal of subsidy until I had a, you know, sit down with Mr. President, and he gave me the premise on which he took that decision. And me coming from the intellectual, from the academia, I should rather put it this way, from the academia and from my legal practice, what we do is we submit to superior argument. We are not sentimental in the way we do it. It's just like the way we practice in court. When you are making argument, once an argument of the other person is superior, the court goes on that the direction of the superior argument. Unlike the general masses, where they believe if you say somebody is a devil, maintain that position that the person is a devil and don't even listen to anything he has to say. So when I sat with Mr. President, he told me, and I have every reason to believe him. I'm telling you that I'm convinced by what he told me about the removal of subsidy, because I opposed it very vehemently. And I said that you cannot remove subsidy until you are provided the palliative first, and then you can remove the subsidy, which is the natural thing. He did not even argue with me along that line. I mean, what I mean by argument, I said disagree. But he said when he took over, when he became the president, there was nothing on ground to begin to govern. And usually, if you want to maintain that subsidy, then you have to have some money on ground to use it and lift the people out of poverty, because people continue to go there. So, and you cannot go and borrow, because get to a point where people won't even give you money, because you have to show that you have economic policies that will lift your people out of poverty. So he said the only options he was faced with were two. One is to remove the subsidy, which will have a telling effect on Nigerians, for sure. There's no doubt about it. But at least we'll be saving the money we would have given for subsidy to begin to then affect areas that affect our people, right? To, you know, cause the change. That's one option. Or the second one is to maintain this subsidy thing, and then in a few months, people will be in the streets stoning us, because it will be apparent to everybody there is no money on ground, you know, to govern. So he said, when it gets to that point as a leader and you're faced up with top choices, it is actually your courage that will determine that. So he did what, since 1960 till his time, people were very careful not to take, like the removal of subsidy, the floating of the Naira. If you ask an economist on these two areas to give you their opinion, they will tell you that any nation that takes that decision, it will have a telling effect in the immediate, but that in the long term, it is going to affect the country positively. Okay. I have studied Financial Times, London. Okay. All of them say that those decisions will have a positive effect in the long term. We are all suffering the short-term effect of that decision.
Okay, so you've swept the carpet from under my feet, so I can't ask you about the current situation, because you're saying that. Short-term, how soon will Nigerians see the price of petrol start going down? How soon will Nigerians see the US dollar and Naira exchange rate begin to improve on the side of the Naira?
So the certainty of when will now be determined by the speed to which the economy grows. For example, with respect to Naira, Naira is now in competition with other currencies. Currencies, the strength of currencies are backed up by certain fundamentals. Like, for example, if your country is a manufacturing company, if your country is a country that has the highest, you know, number of entrepreneurs, if your country is a country that has the highest number of, you know, working force, right? If your country is a country that has regulations that are positive, if your country is a country that attracts foreign investors, that means your country is a country that the private sector are driving and leading the economic development, economic growth of that country, your currency will bounce back. So the speed with which it bounced back is dependent on these variables.
All right. Are you saying that it may or may not happen depending on some factors?
So no, it will happen, albeit slowly, unless and until. For example, Antony Blinken, the Secretary of the U.S. Secretary of State, came.
Yeah.
I listened to his speech. So what he was telling the president is that Americans are more than willing to come and invest in Nigeria. The only thing that we're trying to figure out with them is they are concerned about the repatriation of capital. You see, that's the point. The point is that the economy has become so bad, so down, that you cannot easily just give up those capitals that are coming, which is a problem, because no investor will want to come and invest if he can't have return on investment.
So that short term, you're saying, may now become long term if certain factors don't favor the Nigerian economy.
No. The only thing that is in the short term now, the only thing that is realistic in the short term, is what in the economic policy they say, fund poverty. You know, you get your people out of poverty by funding poverty. It means that you continue to give money to the indigent members of the state. So, for example, these social interventions of government, if you give more money to the poor, you have increased their purchasing power. They are able to go to the market to buy items.
All right.
They are able to pay for the services.
All right.
And in going to the market and paying for the services, it creates job. And that's how continuously people will come out. So intervention is the only thing that is workable in the immediate.
Anything else will take time. Those interventions are on hold because of the corruption scandals bedeviling the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs and Poverty Alleviation. But Daniel, please...
No, it's not... The intervention needs to be defined. It is not, the interventions are not limited to what is happening in the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs, right? For example, the government policy on loan for the student is also government intervening. In America, they did that before. It wasn't working because people couldn't even get to pay.
Okay.
So the student would get up to $200,000 for his studies. By the time he comes, he need to work 10 years to pay. So they are now doing student debt forgiveness.
Hold the thought, Daniel. I'm so sorry. We just need to give our listeners a chance to talk this morning. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sirs.
Welcome. Very quickly, please. Can you be very brief?
Good morning to your guest as well. My name is Mrs. Oboli.
Welcome.
In your intro this morning, I'm greeting your guest. In your intro this morning, you said he was the former spokesperson of Atiku Abubakar. So I just want to ask you a question. From what you're saying this morning, you're sounding more like a praise-singing politician. Are you really familiar with what Nigerians are going through presently? You said, I agree, like you said, between the APC and the PDP, there's no difference. It's obvious. And if Nigerians were to have an alternative, I believe they will not even vote for any of these parties.
Okay, thank you.
You are speaking this morning. I don't think you are passing through the pains that Nigerians are passing through.
Thank you.
You are praising these politicians while Nigerians are dying out there, seeking security, hunger, strife, and everything.
All right. Mr. Boli, thank you. I'll allow you to respond to that. I just want to take a few of them before I come back to you. 99.3, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Sherry.
Kofi Bartels here.
Good morning.
Yeah, very quickly, please.
I'm Ezidun from Surulere.
Okay, good to hear.
I want to ask Wala, his intention to support the presidency, is it in interest of Nigeria or his personal interest? Because President Tinubu has emerged as APC candidate when he went to work for Atiku. Even though that APC governors say that the power should go to South, but Daniel Bwala thwarted it and went for Atiku. I want to ask him, is it in his own interest or national interest?
Okay, but
him working for Atiku when the North is complete 8 years.
All right. Thank you. You want to know if it's a Nigerian interest or a national interest? Okay, we don't have time. Daniel, you want to respond to two of them? Feel free, in whichever order.
Okay. So you see, if you look at the two questions with respect to the people who ask the question, is the reflection of our society. For example, in our conversation, we talked about policies of government. We talked about economic policy. You have asked question about the Naira. You have asked question about when are we going to be out. We talked about intervention and everything. All of these things didn't matter to them. That's a reflection of how our society thinks. Ordinarily, the conversation should be around there. So these people, that like the lady that talked, she should have said something in the line of, so the people are suffering. So how will that social policy impact? So should the people die? These are issues around governance. But no, that's not her concern. Her concern is me. I am one out of over 200 million Nigerians. Whether I move here or I move there, whether I say this or I say that, does it impact on the people? This is a reflection of how our society thinks. Now, she said that I'm doing press singing. Well, it is her opinion.
All right.
But what I know I'm committed to doing is that I am going to help this administration. And it's not everything I give to the president as my advice that I will come out to the media and start talking about. That's the difference. When you don't have the access, you talk from outside. When you have the access, if you amount to grandstanding to come and be talking, you know, about those things. Then the young man said, you supported Atiku and now you're supporting Tinubu. Is it in your interest or in the national interest? It is both. The national interest of the country right now is that Nigeria needs to be out of the difficulty it is in.
Okay, Daniel, hold the thought. Yeah, I'll come back to you so you give us your closing statement. I'm sorry. Let's pay our bills. All right, welcome back. I'll just go straight to Daniel Bwala because of time, so we can give us a final closing statement and maybe respond to the last caller. Daniel Bwala, over to you before we go.
Right, so I will appeal to Nigerians. Let us keep faith in the country. Nigeria is a great country with great potential. Let us do whatever we can in whatever capacity that we have to lift people around us who are going through pains. If you're an employer of labor, to employ people instead of sending them out of jobs, try as much as possible to keep them in the job. That's what I did even during the COVID when, you know, my colleagues were laying off staff and they're reducing the number. I just figured that if I do that, they will be impacted. Let me try to carry the burden. I maintain them in the office, even increase their pay and continue to struggle on my own part just to keep people who have been under you. So this is what I want to extend that plea to Nigerians. And for those who have lost faith in the government because of the way the politics play out, I want to appeal to them. Let us come together as a country and pull through. The reason why America is the greatest country in the world is because the American citizens have true faith and allegiance to the American flag and the Republic. And they work together towards building America.
All right.
That's why America is great.
Daniel, it's great to have you on the program this morning. Hope to have you soon again. Because we have to talk about security and other things, and we appreciate your time. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you.
All right. All right. And that's a Nigerian lawyer and political critic, analyst, and Daniel Bwala, who joined us this morning. I want to thank all of you for your time. Apologies if we couldn't take all the calls we wanted to take. The News at 9 is up next. Please stay with us.